Hi, good afternoon, early evening, everyone. My name is Anne. I'm an alcoholic addict. I'm going to set myself a timer quickly because I do talk. Thank you for asking me to be a service. Do you know what? I was getting really nervous, and this morning I decided to do like my meditation, which is two-way meditation that I've learned in recovery by a gentleman called Wally P. He came over from America to Kingston a few years back, and I was privileged enough to be there and learn something about meditation. So I write what comes into my head, and it was like, wait for the thought to come, patient. Talk from your heart. Speak freely. Let God work through you. Let God guide your voice. God will never let you down. God will never leave you. God loves you. And I thought, how beautiful to remind myself that God loves me. You see, because it wasn't until I had a moment in recovery where I realized that God loves me. And who am I to argue with that? That I realized I'd spent so many years of my life telling myself that I wasn't good enough. You know, telling myself that I was not worthy of love. You see, I was born an addict. I was born with a hole in my soul. Now I realize that this hole in my soul feeds the narrative in my brain, which tells me I'm not good enough. It tells me I'm useless. It tells me I'm different. It tells me I'm shit. See, I crave love. It's all I want. I want you to love me. I just want someone to love me because I feel broken inside and I want you to fix me. So I go around my life trying to find love, oblivious to the love that I already have because it's not good enough. Because what it is with this hole in my soul, it doesn't matter what I do, where I go, what I think, what I feel, what you do, what you think, what you feel, it's never going to fix that hole in my soul. It will give me temporary relief, but it will never fix that hole in my soul. So when that hole in my soul returns, which it will, I'm going to blame you. You ain't loving me right. You don't love me correctly. You love my brother more than you love me. Or it's because of this, or it's because of that. I ain't good enough. And that narrative in my head gets louder and louder and louder. So I also come from childhood trauma. And I mention this because it also helped form a lot of my ideas of who I am as a woman and what was expected of me as a woman. You see, unfortunately, when you're touched by a paedophile, they pass on their shame and their guilt. And I was given a warped sense of a woman and what was expected of me. So, you know, I went through my life trying to fix my brokenness, but I didn't know what was broken or how. And as much as I wanted you to love me, you can't get too close because then you're going to find out that there's something wrong with me. You know what I mean? And it's sort of like, you know, so when I got older, like male attention was probably my first thing. And as Jason said, like, you know, I'm a man with the three Ds, you know, and it is. My three Ds are my go-to: drink, drugs, dick. They're what I will use to make me feel better about me because for a time it worked. You know what I mean? It made me feel better. But what it was is because I mean, I was one of those kids. So I was sort of like made to see and do things that were inappropriate for a child. And I also watched Disney. So I had a really fucked up idea of what was going to happen when Prince Charming showed up. You know what I mean? And the reality is, though, is I expected Prince Charming to come along and make it all right because that's what they told us. That's what I believed. That's what I bought into. A him was going to fix me. I needed a him in order for me to be complete. That's what I needed. You know what I mean? And so by the time I got to the age of 14 and I was already done with being used and abused and being let down and this Prince Charming never being a Prince Charming. You know what I mean? I waited for Prince Charming to show up. He didn't. So I waited for a knight in shining armor and he didn't either. I mean, God, I lowered my standards so low that any fucker wrapped in tinfoil would have done because at least he went to the effort, you know? But even he didn't show up, you know? So I decided I was going to become a mum because I was so desperate for love. I was so desperate to feel fixed and good inside. And mums are good people. You become a mum, bam, you're going to become a good person. So at the age of 14, I got pregnant to a 28-year-old man. And the saddest thing about it is I saw nothing wrong with that. Nothing. And anything, I thought it made me more special, you know? I mean, he weren't there for the script writing. For the scene, for the replay that I had in my head, because I'm a fantasist. Because no sooner did I tell him I was pregnant, he disappeared. Now, he did not stick around long enough for, like, you know, to be part of the fairy tale, the happy ever after that I envisioned in my head, you know. And I went on to become an abusive mum. I was a violent, verbally and physically bullied to my child. And I hated myself more than I hated myself in the whole of my life. I despised myself and I wanted to die. Suicide's always been a thought of mine. It's almost like a friend, you know, like when shit gets tough, suicide shows up and goes, I got your plan, you know. And I just didn't want to be. And so drinking drugs really came part of it, more so than they ever had in the whole of my life. Do you know what I mean? So throughout my life, I'm very good with swapping and changing and this, that and the other. I also do that with people. I'm not very good at geographicals. I've never enough to move around the place. Do you know what I mean? And lugging a kid, it's a bit hard. But I've done a few geographicals. But I'm more about changing people. And I'm more about changing what I drink and what I use. See, my favourite sentence throughout my whole life has been, well, if you hadn't have, then I wouldn't have. See, I would cheat on you and blame you to the point that you'd apologise. Believe me, you would. You know what I mean? I'm the kind of person who could, like, you know, like, and that's true. That's the truth. You know what I mean? And it was because I was angry at you. Because it was your fault that I cheated. That's insane. But the reality is I hate me. I despise me. I desperately want you to love me, but that voice in my head is continuously telling me that I ain't good enough. That's why you don't love me. That's why you don't treat me. So all the high expectations and standards that I may have once lower and lower and lower and lower to the point I sold myself so short. In the end, it got to a stage where, you know what, with reality was is, you know, I pretended that I didn't care. I pretended that I was all right. See, I had no behaviours. Because the thing is it's the same as with drinking drugs. It gets more extreme and it gets darker and it gets lonelier and it gets deeper. I would joke. I would sit there and joke and turn around and say, I've got the street, I've got the morals of an alley cat, me, and I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Really, it was, I did. I was dying. So I drink and I use more. I was doing things that I didn't want to do with people that I shouldn't be doing it, but I could not stop. And that disgust and that self-worth, I don't even know if I ever had it. Never mind, lost it. Self-respect, what the fuck is that? That's something that you see on Facebook. Like, you know, some one of these beautiful inspirational quotes that you click and you share. Because that's the closest I ever got to real self-respect. Click and share. Click and share. That's as close as I got. I would walk around and tell you that I'm a strong, independent, powerful woman. And that I make my own decisions. But the reality was, is I was dying. Love me. Just fucking love me. And yet I hate who I am. I cannot stand who I am. So how the hell do I love me? Because there were people that loved me throughout my life. And when they told me that they loved me, I didn't believe them. How can you love me? How can you love me? You don't know who the fuck I am, because if you did, there is absolutely no way you would really love me. I hated me. By the time I got to the end of my drinking and using, I swore every time that I used, I was going to stop. I swore to God. I swore to a God I didn't even know existed. Please don't let me do this again. And yet I would find myself again and again and again sitting there thinking, how the fuck did I do this? My last use up weren't nothing. Nothing. It was a ticket, but not even a good one at that. A bottle of vodka. The TV on mute. And the only people in the room were the ones that I imagined to be there, because there was no party. There was no places. There was no excitement. There certainly weren't no him. There weren't no nothing. And I'd run out of excuses. And when I come into recovery, I remember making that phone call, because when my last use up, and I thought, what shall I do? This voice in my head, clear as day, turned around and said, go get that number. And by that number, it meant the number I'd seen on the poster in my doctor's surgery. And you know what I did? For the first time in my life, I didn't put it off till Monday. Yeah, I'm a Monday girl. Monday's the day I'm going to get into diet Monday, get a new job Monday, call the doctors Monday, sort your life out Monday. By the time Monday comes, I'm good. Fuck it. Do you know what I mean? This was the first time I did not put it off till Monday. I went and I got the number. My life changed in that matter. In that moment, in the second I put the action into the thought of getting that number, my whole world changed. I had no idea. And I remember I called up on the phone and I'm crying and this guy answered and I've never met this guy before in my life. I had no idea who he was. All I knew about him is the way he sounded. That was it. I only knew his voice. And I'm crying and I'm like, why do I do this? I want to stop, but I can't. Why? Help me, help me, help me. And as I'm doing that and I'm crying and he said, like, you know, Anne, like, and he was talking to me and I believed what he was saying. I felt something through this, through the power, just through a phone call. I had hope. He gave me hope, something I hadn't had in a long time. And he said to me, like, you know, like, with your permission, I'm going to park, tell me where you live. And I'm like, Norfolk, which is West London. He goes, like, with your permission, I'm going to pass your number on to a woman in your local area. I'm like, yes, please, fucking anything, please, yes. And then he said, and I'm going to find out where your local meetings are. Oh, no. Oh, no, I don't need fucking, oh, I'm not that bad. Jesus, oh, no. Oh, I'm not an addict or anything. And I just want to stop and can't. The irony, I know, I know. And I started with this whole list of excuses of why I couldn't possibly be an addict, right? And he stopped me with the simple, most important thing I've ever heard in my life, even to this day, which was, and an addict is not defined by how much or how often they use. An addict is defined by using against their will. Sounds to me, darling, like you're using against your will. What do I do? You see, I had no fucking argument. I had no comeback. There was nothing that my head could come up with and go, yeah, but to. And I went to my first meeting. Now, my road of recovery for me has been, it's been beautiful, but it hasn't been without drama. You know, it hasn't always been easy. When I came into recovery, I tell people I was single. I wasn't. I was sleeping with my drug dealer because that's the genius fucking thing to do in recovery. Why would you not? You know, I was after that, like, you know, I then actually got single for a little while. I actually became like proper single for the first time in my actual life. Like, who knew? And what it was is because the more I did recovery and the more I went through the steps, the more you guys spoke, the more I heard about me. The more you told me about your truth, the more I heard my truth. And I realized that, as being said, drink and drugs were not my problem. They were my solution to the way I felt. So when you take away the drink and drugs, this is why I couldn't do it outside of the rooms, because I stopped all the fucking time. You know what I mean? All the time I stopped. Swear to God, never, ever again. Amen. I stopped all the time. But you take away the drink and drugs, I am miserable. I'm in pain. It's awful. It's fucking horrendous. I can't do it. So when I'm in recovery and you take away the drink and the drugs, I realise that, oh, shit, I might actually be the problem. Oh, it might actually be me. You know what I mean? This is why they write out your defects as well. Like, you know, this is some shit you've got to work on, and I'm okay. Because I was desperate and I needed to do it. And even by the time I remember 2 weeks clean. I'm sitting there with a grin on my face. Everyone's like, you're right. I'm like, yeah. Like, you know, I looked like I was on fucking drugs. Great, you know what I mean? Because it was the longest I'd been clean in such a long time, and it was amazing that I actually felt good, because normally, like I said, it was hell, you know? And I got to work on me. I got to build a relationship with me, and I got to find out who I actually am. And I discovered that I actually like me. All the shit that I'd done in my past is shit that I'd done. It didn't really define who I was as a woman. You know? My hardest stuff was me as a mother. That was really, really tough and emotional to deal with. But now I understand that what I did then, I did the best with what I had. I did the best with who I was. You know? I'd put in place a lot of things to protect myself as a child, and that meant that I was quite emotionally dead inside. So therefore, at the end of the day, like, you know, when I came into recovery and I started to open up and I started to feel, there were times that it was painful and it was hard. And I had to go to my children and I had to say to my kids, I'm sorry. Knowing that the word sorry will never undo what I did. Knowing that I can never take it back. But I said to them, I'm sorry for what I did. I can never undo what I've done. But I promise you now, I'll spend the rest of my life trying to make up for it and be a decent mum. And that's what I do today. See, because of you, I learned about self-respect, real self-respect. I learned about self-worth and self-love. So when I got back into a relationship with my ex-husband and it ended 2 years later. My world didn't end. I didn't die. Don't get me wrong, it took me a minute, but I didn't die. See, I couldn't see why God would make me get back with my ex only for it to end again. That can't be God's will. Like, what's God's will? That can't be God's will. And the more I tried to fight to save something that wasn't working, the more painful it gets. That's how God speaks to me. Because I don't always listen the first fucking time. And then I got into another relationship with someone who was lovely, but you know what? At the end of the day, they just weren't right, and it was okay. And I was scared to let go because I still had my issues. I still had my issues because there was still that part of me that felt that I needed a him. Anyway, my feelings got hurt. And I remember I prayed, and as I was praying, I started to cry real proper tears. And I prayed to God, and I meant what I said. When I said, God, I give this over to you. I cannot do this on my own. I do not trust myself to make the right decision. God, please, God, please don't put anyone in my path that's not meant for me, because I can't do it. My heart can't make the right decision. You know, so please, God, help me, protect me. And I knew as I said it, that meant I could have been by myself for years. God may have seen fit that I was never meant to be with another soul, but I meant it. Because I had to give it over to God, because it wasn't until that moment that I realized I've been saying my step three prayer for all this time, yet I was still obsessing about a him. Because I felt I needed a him. Now I'm in a relationship with the most wonderful man I've ever met in my life, but he does not complete me and I do not complete him. Because we both are children of God. We are already complete. We enhance one another, which is wonderful, but we don't complete one another. We complement one another. You know, when God put Jason in my path, there was this part of me that was sort of like thinking like, nah, this seems too soon, like, you know, and I was terrified. I was more scared of anything that ever been in my life, because I knew, like I said, he said that we our paths crossed a few times, but that time that I met him, and thanks Glenn for asking me to come and do a chair, so you'll always be in my heart anyway. And I knew from the moment, the second I saw him stood there, and like I said, we'd met before, but the second he come over and said hello, it was like, that's you, girl. That's you. I remember driving home, and I just wanted to be near him from that moment. I remember driving home, and as I was driving home in my car, his voice in my head said, call him. And it's funny, because the voice was very similar to the voice that told me to go get that number. And I'm like driving, going, I ain't fucking calling him. And that voice was just, call him. And I'm like, I am not calling him. He should be calling me. I ain't calling him. No. And I'm arguing like a crazy woman in this voice in my head. Do you know what I mean? And before I knew it, I called him. And we spent over 2 hours on the phone together that night. It hasn't always been easy. But one of the things that we do, because it's beautiful that we're both in recovery and we both understand what recovery means to us, you know, and he definitely is a man of integrity. And he works the program and I work the program, but we work it differently, which is quite funny, you know what I mean? But it's still what it is, you know? The reality is at the end of the day, we're honest, you know? We're really honest with one another. And that is something which I've never had before. We trust one another, you know? We respect one another, you know? We love one another. And the thing is as well, is because I had to love myself, I had to trust myself, and I had to respect myself, and I had to be honest with myself before I was able to be in a relationship with somebody else and expect those things in return. And you guys taught me how to do that, because you stuck around and you carried on that message. So yeah, you taught me how to be clean and sober, but you also taught me how to live the rest of my life. And for that, I thank you. You know, it's not always easy. It's not plain sailing. But it's fucking worth it. I'll leave it there. Thank you.